Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Off we go to Southington. Is there really someone named Tanner in Southington? I guess there is. Hi, Tanner.
Yes, yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm rocking. How about you?
I'm doing all right. So I want to just call in and say, back in 1947, Congress had written in a law stating that a president, couldn't serve more than two terms. FDR had ran for so many.
Yeah, constitutional amendments. It's too bad they did that, isn't it?
It is. But what really grinds my gears is that these career politicians and whatnot, they're not limited themselves. Yes, the president does have a lot of power, but who else has a lot of power are these people who've been in for, 40, 50, 60 years. And, all they do is just sit back and argue with the president. Sometimes, yes, they do bring up a good point, but other times it's just to stonewall him from trying to make any progress into making the community better for everyone.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Tanner, for making that point. I disagree kind of because there are defenders against institutional government, the big bureaucracy that controls everything. So if you're not there for long enough, I know it's pretty sad if we have to say the defenders of the people are the elected members of Congress, but they're better because at least we can get rid of them. The bureaucracy, we can't. That's my concern about term limits, is if we made them too weak, then we put the bureaucrats even more in charge. Tom is calling from Winstead. Hi, Tom.
Yeah. Hey, Todd. I love the show, but I think it's really condescending the way you blow off hard of hearing old people, and someone that wants to say hello to you. Your scheduled guests you say hello to. Even the calling people that call in regular you say hello to. But a slug
I say
like
hello
me,
to everybody.
If I ask you how you are, you get annoyed and offended. I don't understand it.
I don't get it, and
you seem to be against elitism.
Tom, let me answer. Yeah. No, I'm pro-elitism. Let me answer the question. The reason I don't do it is because if you say, hi, how are you? And I say, good. How you doing, Tom?
No,
then we've wasted
say, hey,
30
fine.
Seconds of
question?
Time. No, let me just give my answer, okay? So then we've wasted 30 seconds with a repetition of what 35 other people have done on the show. And if you add up 30 seconds or 45 seconds times 30 or 35 people, we've just made a much slower, less fun to listen to show. That's all.
That's
it's very simple. It's
not that I'm
it's not that I'm mean.
It
it's not that I don't
but
like
you
don't people.
Do it to your friends. And you don't do it to the guys that call in every week. You say hello to them and ask them how they're doing. Come on,
well,
Tom.
I say hello to everybody, Tom. I don't want to make you listen to 35 interchanges where the caller says, "Todd, how you doing?" I say, "Good. How you doing?" It's a waste
of
time. Slows down the show.
With your elitist friends.
Because how many?
Like me
because
that
how
don't
many?
Interchange
Tom,
with.
How many elitist shows guests do I have on per show?
Well, you know what I mean. The guys that call in every week.
I'm responding to what you mean. The people who call in every week. Like today, I have two of them on. Okay, so twice you will hear me say, I'm good, how you doing? Or whatever. But if you have to listen to a whole show of that, it just makes a less effective show. I also don't let people talk for 4 minutes, which some people do. You know, because I think it's better to have a faster show. The effect makes a stronger show. Thank you, Tom, for the call. Boy, it's time for traffic. The Brown, Painteris, and Scott Traffic Center. I won't ask Mark Christopher how he's doing because I talk to him all the time. I don't care how he's doing. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Todd, first time, long time. Thanks for taking my call. How are you today? How's everything going?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. Yeah, what am I going to say? I'm lousy? I'm doing great. I'm on the radio.
WTIC. We'll take more phone calls in a few minutes. And don't forget, in a half hour, we'll have the rant line. 860-751-4698 is the rant line number. Joining us now, Alfonso McGriff. He's a Hartford businessman and author, and he's working on a new book about how to communicate in ways that allow people to communicate with each other, which is something we're not always good at. Alfonso, welcome back.
Thank you. Don't ask me how.
Tell us about. I would not dare. I would never ask you that because I know you're kind of unpredictable with your answers. So, tell us about why you're doing this. Does this connect to like our political fisticuffs and how we don't talk to each other in general as Americans and blocks of people who live in different subcultures and all that?
Well, one of the biggest challenges, communication is a universal thing. It goes beyond culture and race and all of that other stuff. It's simply communication. And so one of the challenges we have when we enter into conversations is we want to win and we want to be right. And so rather than working towards understanding one another, we engage in a battle to be the most correct. So that is what
ain't that the truth? Excuse me, I just want to revel in the accuracy of that description. Somebody said to me once, I wish I remembered who it was because it was so wise, and this is maybe 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Somebody said, being right isn't all that great, you know. There's more important things. And I thought about it. It was one of those recurring thoughts that was bouncing around my brain. And one day, because I grew up in a family where everyone debated all the time, was arguing. And I realized we argued about nothing. It was just a habit to argue. And we were probably 95% in agreement, but we just argued.
One of the stories that I think about is one that I always tell just to help people understand. It's a story about the glass. There's a glass on the table, and one man says, man, that glass is empty. The other guy says, no, the glass is full. And the man looks at him and says, you must be crazy. You think you're going to be able to convince me that glass is full? It's empty, and no one convinced me otherwise. Can't convince me otherwise. And so the other guy said, well, The challenge is that you're seeing the glass and thinking about water, and I'm seeing the glass and thinking about air.
Right.
And you haven't allowed yourself to make room to see that we both can be correct. And so that's what understanding is about. That's the reason why we communicate, and that's why I always say the mind is like a fingerprint. There's a reason why we see things differently, and if we were if we were truly understanding this, we would expect that people see things differently than we do. And therein lies the purpose for communication and understanding.
Yes, but it's interesting, this inclination to argue about things, to seek to be right and correct, that's a bad habit. And I don't know where it comes from, if it gets handed down culturally, but it's really unnecessary. If somebody else is offering an idea, what we should be doing is help them express that idea as best as we can rather than to shoot it down so that we together can move the idea forward and find out if it has value, if it retains its value when it's fleshed out.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you say handed down culturally, I think that's interesting because I watch ESPN, and they always have a point-counterpoint guy on, and they're always fighting and battling. I watch CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and they always have a point-counterpoint, and they're sitting and looking in each other's face, battling, veins coming out of their neck and forehead, sweating, angry. And so, and then we wonder, like, why are the children so confrontational? Well, everything around them is confrontational. Everything they see when they go on the internet and they watch the news and they watch reality shows, everything around them is confrontational. So I don't see it as cultural unless we're talking about American culture. But then when we expand beyond America, this is the standard all over the world. Everybody's looking each other in the face, battling and trying to win a conversation with the expectation.
Yeah, well, I was thinking more like familial, but yeah, it's everywhere, I guess, is probably a better way to put it.
Yeah, it's a universal kind of thing going on around here, man. And so that's why I'm writing the book, because the name of the book is The Roots of a Tree. And I feel like at the root of everything successful, there must be harmonious and productive communication involved. And so I think we all have room to learn more about how to interact in a non-confrontational way.
All right, hold on one sec, Alfonso. I got a weather report in. Then maybe you can share one of the thoughts from this book, a little insight, so we can just get on the same page. And so we'll wrap up with Alfonso. We'll take more phone calls. We've got the rant line coming up in a little while. 860-522-9842. Talking to Alfonso McGriff. So Abe, give us a gem from the book.
A gem from the book, I'll just say personal growth. I'll talk about personal growth. Personal growth is an option. Some of us just age and never grow. That's a gem from the book.
Well, that there is no doubt about that, that growing up is a lifelong achievement if it's something you can do. And we are such complex creatures that there's always a piece of us that's lagging behind, and we could be going back and doing a little work on. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, man. Personal growth is an option.
All right. Go ahead.
Right before I came on, the conversation you had with the caller was very interesting, because he clearly had in listening to him, he had concluded that you treat younger people better than you treat older people.
That
you
really?
Treat people who you are familiar with better than you treat older people. In listening, it sounded like he had a problem with how you treat the elderly on your show. And he wasn't going to let that go.
Yeah, because I think he thought I was mean to a guy who he assumed was old and in a Joe Biden state of mind or something. Yeah.
Oh, wow, man. See, now you got to go there and call it a Joe Biden state of mind. He's going to call you back. He's going to call you back for sure. So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting interaction. And what I learned from listening is that he did not hear or wasn't interested in hearing anything about your explanation for your behavior.
Oh, well, that is certainly true. He wasn't the least bit interested. He just wanted to yell at me. All right, Alfonso, thank you so much, sir. We'll break this down more next week when you're here, okay?
Thank you.
All righty. Alfonso McGriff, a regular here from Hartford on WTIC. 860-522-9842, Virginia in Southington. What's up, Virginia?
Hi. It's a pleasure talking to you. I'm calling because I recently just got this on my computer. It's a speech that Nikita Khrushchev made, and a prediction speech about the United States, and that was made on September 29th, 1959. Everyone should look this up. It's absolutely amazing. And it says a little over, I won't read the whole thing, but I just want to give you some ideas of what it's about. A little over 60 years ago, since Russia's Khrushchev delivered his message to the UN on his prediction for America, TV coverage of him banging his shoe on the podium. At that time, the word communism was feared throughout our nation. Do you remember September 20, 1959? Now, here is some food for thought. If it does not make us choke, do you remember September 29, 1959? And he did a call. I'm just going to read you one, and there's eight. There's eight different things. If people want to look it up, they can see it.
Yeah, just get to the essence of what you want to tell us.
Communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we will keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find you already have communism. We will not have to fight you. We will so weaken your economy until you will fall like overripe fruit into the hands. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. Now, there's eight steps that he spoke about.
Yeah, don't worry about the telling us all the things that are in it. Just make the point that you want to make about it.
Well, I want to make a point that everybody reads this. Because socialism, when I say socialism, I'm just wondering what people think. I mean, you say socialism, you think social. You know, you think friendly, nice. I don't know how many people realize that socialism is a form of communism. And
well, I don't think most people know that communism is bad. I don't think most people could tell us what communism
is. I know,
is,
but I mean,
especially
they
younger
don't realize
people.
What's going on. And if they're interested in seeing, you know, that this prediction was made how many years ago, and if you want, if there's eight things, and the Democrats are doing six of them already.
Yeah. Well, I did a quick search on it while you were talking, Virginia, and there are a couple of things they're saying. It's a bogus quote and misinformation out on the internet. And you do have to be careful of that. But either way, you know, it doesn't matter so much about the Khrushchev quote. It matters about the point you're making, which I think is a valid quote. And that is that we are asleep at the wheel when it comes to understanding the dynamics of where we're heading as a country, and that more government programs, more free stuff, more special benefits from the Democrats because they love us so much. They love us so much like the jailer with his keys when he locks the door, the big steel door, he slams it shut and he turns the lock. That's the kind of love the Democrats have for us. Thank you, Virginia, for the call. Lee and Cobalt, hi.
Hey, I can hear myself very well, Todd. Anyway, listen, I wanted to say one thing. You had said earlier that you thought that Trump's nomination for the Supreme Court meant more to you than him winning the election.
Yes, I think it's more important to the country that it's a better defense against the oncoming communism that Virginia refers to than Trump's election.
I would agree with you on that. However, I would say, wouldn't both be as well? I wouldn't say one over the other, but the fact that what's going on in the Middle East as far as peace and the potential for what we just relived this 9/11 thing and everything. Wouldn't you say that what he's done with Israel and the Middle East has been a really big deal, as Joe Biden would say, a really big deal, man?
Well, he would say a big effing deal. Biden would.
Yeah,
that's what he said to Obama, right?
He did.
But the
did.
that's the point, is saying that we want Trump to get reelected, and we want this Supreme Court justice. And I was thinking about which is more important. That's all. And I,
you think one?
I thought it
the
was.
Other?
No, not at all. Just that between the two, I was just trying to elevate the importance of the Supreme Court thing. That's how powerful it is. That if I had to trade, I would give up Trump's reelection to get the Supreme
because
Court
because it's
justice.
A longer-lasting thing than a presidency.
Exactly. Yes, it's more powerful and influential at this point. If you're the guy who switches the court over from being a seesaw to being a sure thing, we're going to defend the American system of government, then I'll take that last justice who you need to do that. Thank you, Lee, for the call. Maria, Rocky Hill. Hi, Maria.
Hello, good afternoon, Todd. If I may, I'd like to respond to a previous caller that was kind of admonishing you. I can tell how hard you work at preparing a show. And it isn't like Rush has, like a open line Friday or something like that. So you set the topic for the day or topics. And I like to listen, and I like to respond to them. And so I know how you go. You can't waste your time saying, well, how are you? Well, can you hear me? No, no. I know that when I call in, I know what I want to say. I know what to respond because I know I only have a minute and a half. And I love because you set the topics or ideas in our heads to give us a chance to mull them through and how we're going to respond. So that all I want to say is this guy that called in, I don't agree with him. I just love calling him when I can. And I like to voice my opinion on the topic that you might have set. So,
thank you for that, Maria. I will just say it isn't for me so much as it's for the pace of the show, that I feel like the show should move. And that means I don't want to bog it down with silliness that's repetitive. I want it to have some movement to it. And that's why I don't want to have every caller saying, hi, how are you? Rush is very good about being all cheery with each caller about how they are. But I feel like it bogs things down, that's all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.